I'm here talking to Kendall.
I'm here talking to Annie. Today I'm talking about the murder of Kendra Hatcher. Content warning is for your parking garage nightmare coming true. Come join us on Patreon. We have a general support tier as well as a tier that gets you 3 bonus episodes a month and always ad-free regular episodes. As soon as you sign up, you get the backlog immediately. I think there's like 9 in there right now for you to listen to. You can follow us on Instagram at tellnoonepodcast or send us an email at tellnoonepod@gmail.com. Sources are in the show notes. Everything is alleged, but this is definitely Tell No One. Girls, on an early June day, Brenda Delgado received a devastating email from her ex-boyfriend, Dr. Ricardo Paniagua, Ricky. Brenda's 31. She is a student in the dental hygiene program at Sanford Brown College in Dallas, Texas. Ricky is 38. He's a California native and a graduate of Stanford Medical School. He had come to Dallas in 2011 to complete his residency in dermatology at the at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center. It's 2015, and now he's working as an assistant professor at UTSW. So Ricky and Brenda met in August 2012, and only 3 months after their first date, they are living together. They were pretty much inseparable for 2.5 years. They had one brief split, but he had given her a promise ring. But in February 2015, he tells Brenda he wants to move on. He's dating around and eventually found another girlfriend, which was the reason he decided to send Brenda this email. In the email, he lets her know that he is in a new relationship and that it's going very well. So like, we are not
going to get back together.
Maybe just accept that. Brenda.
Brenda, are you not? No, no, we're having a hard time.
Yeah.
Okay.
The new girlfriend, her name is Kendra Hatcher. She's a 35-year-old pediatric dentist who lives in a very luxurious high-rise apartment building in Dallas. Throughout that summer, Ricky and Kendra are out on the town, fancy restaurants. They're both doctors.
Yeah.
They're taking expensive trips. They're posting a lot of pictures of themselves on their public Facebook pages. And they're even talking about starting a wedding fund. Like, they are, like, in it to win it. Time jump, kind of. So let's talk about Brenda. Her father, Luis, was a factory worker in central Mexico. So he brought his family to Texas with Brenda and her 4 siblings and his wife to Dallas, which he called the City of Opportunity.
Beautiful.
So they find a modest home in Pleasant Grove, lower income community. He gets a job in construction. Her mother, Maria, works for the U.S. Postal Service and cleans houses. Brenda is the second of their 5 children and the only girl. Brenda graduates from Skyline High School in 2000 and talked about enrolling in college, maybe medical school down the line, but she didn't have enough money. Like, her family just didn't have enough money.
Yeah.
So she continued to live at home, got a job as a dental assistant, and took a job whitening teeth at a spa in like a high-end mall in Dallas. She's in like the teeth biz. Both of these girls are. She's like a pretty fashionable gal. She's out on the town.
Given teenagers Invisalign.
Right, exactly. And cool. According to her brother, she was very selective about who she dated. And when she did go out, she didn't drink much or, you know, she wasn't a party girl. Mm. But one man who went on a date with Brenda said that she had showed up to their date with one of her brothers. And then on their second date, she had brought a friend. So she's a little like cautious about dating.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Eventually, she does move out of her parents' house and she lives in the spare bedroom of an apartment of a childhood friend and her husband. She gets on the apps, and that's how she met Ricky. He's a studious young man. He like co-authors academic papers. Like, he's a brainiac. He's a catch, frankly.
38, young man.
Young man. He's a young man.
Sure.
And they met, what, 3-4 years before this. So he's like 34. So Ricky is actually in the final stages of a divorce. He had married a woman in California before moving to Texas to do his residency, and he's just like putting his feet out there.
Is that what you say?
Putting my feet out there.
I'm dipping
my
toe.
It must be dipping my toes and putting himself out there.
Yeah.
Okay. So he is a fucking doctor and he's cute. So he's a catch. He also came from like a humble background. He was raised in a single wide trailer in rural Northern California. And he appreciated Brenda's like drive to make a better life for herself.
I'm sure they could like relate to each other.
Yeah. And on their first date, he took her to a J-Lo concert. Brenda's head over heels dazzled, razzle dazzled.
Yeah.
In November 2012, 3 months after their first date, Brenda's friend told her and her husband are saying goodbye. And so Brenda says, hey, like, I'm being asked to leave. Can I stay with you? Mm. So we're moving in quickly, and it's not necessarily because we want to.
Yeah. And I wonder if that could be a bit of her friend being like, you should think about moving out, and her being like, great opportunity to tell him we should move in together.
Exactly. Or she's like, why would I rent a place in a year when I want to live with this guy sooner?
Yeah.
Yeah. He says yes. So, all right. So Brenda brings Ricky to her parents' home, introduces him as her boyfriend. Ricky tries to speak Spanish with her parents. Like, it's just sweet. Their relationship is blossoming. And in April 2013, Brenda posts a birthday message to Ricky on her Facebook page that read, happy birthday to the most amazing and smartest man I know. Ricky, together we've shared so much happiness. You are my best friend. I love you with all my heart and can't imagine life without you.
And I won't.
Remember these words. 2 months later in June, Brenda learns she's pregnant. After talking to Ricky, she decides to terminate the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And she tells nothing to her family about what happened. But on her notes app in her phone, she typed a message to herself acknowledging how distressed that made her. Like a little journal entry in a way.
Yeah. She didn't really want to have an abortion.
I guess not. Or she's just a little upset that it even had to happen. But she says, yeah. Like, she vows that her and Ricky will have children someday. So I guess it's like, not our time, but we will kind of thing.
Okay.
But, you know, planting the seeds for some resentment, perhaps.
Sure. I mean, that alone, I have a feeling of, like, if he had been on board, she might have been on board.
That's kind of what it is, I think.
Okay.
By early 2014, she's wearing a promise ring that Ricky had given her. Marriage is, we think.
Looming.
Right. She takes Ricky to Mexico to visit her relatives. She gets a weekend dental assistant job so she could help him pay for a new two-bedroom apartment they have. But one day in July 2014, Brenda goes to one of her classes crying. She tells a classmate that Ricky had broken up with her and had asked her to move out. Hmm. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, he can do that. Anybody can break up with anybody. They don't really need to have a good reason. They just need to not want to be with you anymore, and you don't get to be with them then.
Right. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We don't really know why Ricky did this. Maybe he was a little too much too fast. We don't know. But whatever it was, it shook Brenda and changed her fucking forever. So her grades start falling. She withdraws from her dental hygiene program. Ricky is moving on, though. I mean, he made this decision. Mm. And in September, he signed up for a salsa dance class at a studio.
Adorable.
Yeah, like, come on. He's so well-rounded.
Yeah. I get it, Brenda. I'd flip out. I don't know what you're going to do, girl, but I'd do it.
So the way the class worked is, like, they would pair up men and women and then, like, switch the partners.
Yeah.
Obviously. So one night, Ricky goes to the class, like he always does, and sees Brenda's in the class. He was like, how does she know about this class? So they dance with their different partners, but eventually they rotate to being with each other.
You can't make anybody want to be with you.
And why would you want
to?
Yeah,
do you want to be with a man who, like, kind of didn't want to be?
No, he's, like, scared of you.
Yeah.
So they're dancing together, and, you know, the spark is a little rekindled. Ricky would later say that they sometimes got together to practice their salsa dancing after this.
Oh, he'll live to tell the tale?
He'll live.
Okay.
Uh-huh. We reintroduced each other into one another's lives, he said, and we decided to give the relationship another try.
Okay, maybe he felt like I might have been rash in breaking up with you.
Yeah. And so she rented her own apartment, so they're not living together anymore. Things are slowing down, maybe. So yeah, this time he does not ask her to move in, but he did pay for some of her stuff. Like, she's on his cell phone plan. Mm-hmm. This goes on for a few months. Everything's fine. The relationship is going so well that it seems like marriage again was on the table. Brenda's father, Luis, asked Ricky about his intentions with Brenda. And according to Brenda's brother, Ricky replied that he had, quote, good intentions. So time goes on. The more he thinks about it, the more doubts are coming to Ricky again. Mm. So here we are again. February 2015, he breaks up with Brenda again. This is when she gets the email about the new girl, Kendra. Okay. So Ricky later says that he and Brenda remained platonic friends. They would periodically text to see how things were going. And every week or so, he would see Brenda when he went running on the Katy Trail. He said, at the time, I thought it was just a coincidence. The same way it had seemed coincidental when she showed up to his salsa class.
Ricky, wake up.
He also thought it was a pure coincidence when Brenda showed up one day at Panera Bread, just as he was leaving with the woman he had started dating. Brenda had actually hacked into his email in iCloud and had a key to his apartment.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm in.
She also downloaded an app to track the location of his cell phone.
Yeah. That would be the real truth.
Yeah. That's what's happening.
You don't need to do that, girl.
There are other doctors. Like, there are.
I get, like, being dropped by a derm would be hard.
Yeah.
But
you can live without this man.
Yeah.
And, like, you have a good life without this man.
Yeah.
So that spring, Brenda took screenshots of Ricky's text messages with his new girlfriend, and she took a screenshot of the airline reservations he had made for the pair to visit Denver for his birthday. But she's not letting on to Ricky or the girlfriend that she's doing any of this shady shit. So they're still, like, kind of talking. But in May 2015, he starts seeing Kendra, and he's much more serious about her. Mm-hmm. The other girl, less serious about.
What do you mean other
girl? Less of a threat. He was dating that other girl, the Panera bread girl.
Oh.
He's not dating Kendra? Around. Not Kendra. He's dating around. Wasn't super serious about that one. She's just spying on him, like, recreationally.
But the email, now we're at the email point of, like, I'm with Kendra. Yes. We're not going to be together again.
Yeah.
To be clear.
Like, I'm very serious about Kendra.
Okay, great.
And so she's got to, like, come to terms with
that. Pack your shit and move on.
Okay, you want to talk about Kendra? So she was born and raised in a small Illinois town named Pleasant Plains. Her mother owned a quilt shop. She was the captain of her high school cheerleading squad and the girls' volleyball team. She went on, her mom's name is Bonnie, by the way. Mm. She went on a mission trip abroad to help build churches. Do you know that, like, the town tears them down afterwards? It's just useless. It's so useless that they just usually tear them down.
They do not make a building the town actually might
need. No. It's all, like, white savior shit. Yeah. Yeah.
And then they tear it down when they leave.
No, the town tears it down when they leave.
Because they're like, why'd you build that here? We don't need it.
Yeah, like, it's great for your Instagram, I guess, but we don't want this. We'd love, like, just money, but not like Habitat for Humanity, but, like, some other things. Like, they're just so useless. It's just, like, privilege trips for people.
Oh, my fucking God. Everything is made up. The
recycling stuff?
Yeah, I'm deeply into the recycling shit lately. Like, the long form lie of the blue bin. Anyway.
The blue bin. So she's this type of gal. She's middle America gal. She majored in Spanish and minored in biochem. Hmm. And after graduation, she enrolled at the University of Kentucky College of Dentistry. One Christmas, she traveled to Ecuador to perform free dental work for children. That's actually
that
useful.
That could be helpful. Yeah.
I could use some. One of her friends said she was the most generous giving friend. You could call her at 3 a.m. and she would answer without any hesitation. Her laugh was contagious, high-pitched, and full of joy. She married her college boyfriend, but that didn't last. So in 2010, looking for a fresh start, she moves to Dallas. She goes to work at Smile Zone. I think it's like an Aspen Dental type of thing. And rents an apartment in, like, a very fancy Dallas apartment building with, like, a saltwater pool, fitness studio, coffee bar. You know the type.
And met a doctor.
Exactly.
God, and, like, good for her.
She did it. Her Bikram yoga instructor said that men often did double takes when they saw Kendra, but none of the men she met intrigued her the way that Ricky did. She read his Tinder profile, living out my childhood dream as a physician. Very happy and in a great place in life. Enjoy running, exploring new places, and opening the car door for my date. And on May 24th, they met for dinner at Cozy Kitchen in the heart of Uptown Dallas, and things progressed.
Oh! Yeah.
Cute.
Oh my God.
Cutie, what'd they do?
Progressed.
You might see why. Things progressed quite rapidly.
Oh, quite. Go on.
Oh my God. Things progressed rapidly.
No.
Quite
rapidly.
Okay. Blah, blah, blah. So, in the email that Ricky sent Brenda, letting her know he had a serious girlfriend, he never said her name. Why? I don't know why he would. So, and Brenda didn't ask any questions.
I don't need to. I'm on the back end of the internet.
Right. Instead, Brenda says, I want to remain friends. So, in July, when Ricky needed to get his car repaired, Brenda arranged for him to drop it off at a mechanic shop owned by one of her friends. She picked him up, drove him to work, and then later drove him back. Very nice. She didn't talk about their breakup or his new girlfriend at all. And she said she didn't mind helping him. And if he ever needed her, she'd be happy to help. Mm. But so Kendra has a public Facebook account. So Brenda can and does read everything there. She learns on Facebook that Ricky had gone with Kendra to California and to a resort outside of Austin. So she's a little upset because Ricky had never taken her on any nice trips. She took a screenshot of the photo of Kendra wearing an I'm with Dreamy shirt and took another screenshot of Ricky and Kendra posing happily in front of the Dallas skyline.
What, to like hate view later?
I'm not sure. Good. Yeah, just be like,
a livid button push.
Okay. So one night, Brenda goes to dinner with a man named Roberto Menendez, who's a car salesman who seemed to be interested in her. But she spent the entire dinner talking about Ricky and Kendra.
Oh, fuck.
Afterward, she said she wanted to visit a friend and she had Roberto drive to Kendra's apartment building.
Fuck.
They parked outside of the building. And Brenda, he later recalled, spent the entire time peering through the windshield looking for someone. She on a date was like, can you drive me to my friend? And just sat there like on a stakeout with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, this is weird. A man named Milton, who had gone to high school with Brenda, also took her out on a date. Once again, she talked almost exclusively about Ricky and Kendra. And at one point out of the blue, she asked Milton if he knew someone who could, quote, hurt someone. He said, whatever you're thinking, drop it.
Oh, wow. Milton, you're right. Whatever you're going to do, don't. For real.
Fell on deaf ears.
Does she not have even one friend to talk to about this shit? Like, why are you on a random date?
Right.
You
right,
need to talk about it right now.
We find a friend, but.
Wow, though.
She's just like stewing. Yeah, I guess like there's no one to like talk her out of this cycle that she's in. She's like whipping herself into a fucking frenzy.
Yeah.
So when she went out to meet her cousin Moses for drinks one night, she brought along a metal baseball bat.
What?
She told him she would either buy him a car or pay his child support if he threatened Kendra with the bat, just to scare her. And he turned her down thinking she was like drunk. But you brought the bat.
You brought a bat?
Yeah. This here bat?
You like got in my car with a bat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very much hearing that like, I'm only hearing you're on a date with a random guy or with a family member.
Yeah.
Like, do you have a friend, dude?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Oh, Brenda then turned to her friend, Jennifer Escobar.
Okay.
Who she had met when the two of them were working at the mall. Brenda knew that Jennifer was going through some hard times with her boyfriend. So she expressed deep concern about Jennifer's problem and invited Jennifer to move in with her.
Ooh.
She can't be alone, I guess.
Yeah. And she kind of like,
you should break up with him.
Wow. You should really break up and move in with me. Holy shit, Brenda.
Okay.
All right.
So in early August, Jennifer does move in, but she hardly unpacked when Brenda began talking about Ricky and Kendra.
Yeah. I didn't move in to like create one of the a red tape wall with you.
Right. Like, I'm not your sounding board for crazy.
I moved in. You told me I had to.
Because you told me I had to. So she spent so much time talking about them that Jennifer found herself coming up with excuses to stay away from the apartment.
Oh.
And how much is there to say? Like, I wonder what she's actually saying.
Yeah.
Like, the audacity of them to exist.
Okay.
Quote, she was super obsessed. Mm. Brenda offered to buy Jennifer drugs or even a car if she would help exact revenge on them.
Like what, dude?
Revenge for just living. She said she wanted to use the baseball bat to knock Ricky into a coma.
What?
Yeah.
Are you
she loves this bat.
Days of Our Lives. Like, what do you mean?
She wanted to kill Kendra by grabbing her from behind and stabbing her in the chest with a drug-filled hypodermic needle.
Now we're killing.
Or by beating her to death. Yeah.
And, like, you can't do this to anyone no matter what they do to you. But, like, they did everything above board.
Right. He sent her a really nice thing.
Yeah, he didn't break up with you for her.
No.
You broke up. And then after a while, he told you, I've met a new girl and we're really...
I think that's really respectful almost.
I think all along, I felt a lot of, like...
Respect.
From him, right?
Yes. You don't necessarily owe it to anyone to be like, hey, I'm in a serious relationship.
For you to not hold out for me.
Right. Like, go see other people. Like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
It's not like he ghosted her or anything.
Or treated her badly in the relationship.
No. He just didn't stay in the relationship.
Brenda, you're acting like a guy.
She is.
You're acting like an angry man.
Okay. So, Jennifer moved out mid-August. So, she lasted 2 weeks.
Whoa.
Yeah. It must have been that freaky. Brenda approaches one of Jennifer's friends, a 23-year-old single mother named Crystal, who had come to the apartment a couple times to see Jennifer and let her son swim in their pool.
She wanted her to move in?
She wanted her to do something that we'll get to.
Okay. Okay.
So Crystal lived with her son at her grandmother's home in a low-income area of South Dallas, and she's struggling financially. She makes $11 an hour working as a receptionist at a dental practice.
She's God, a lot of, like, dental.
I know, it's very weird.
Is that, like, a wild world we gotta get
Dallas
into?
Dallas, and it's like, dee, like Chip Skylark. So Crystal said she admired Brenda, because Brenda seemed to have her life together. She dressed well and had MAC makeup. She also drove a Lexus and had two leather sofas.
All right.
And Crystal said she looked like she'd be a nice friend. Hmm. So Brenda starts whining and dining Crystal. She's buying her dinner. And Crystal listens as Brenda talks about her relationship with Ricky, and now Ricky and Kendra. Crystal said she said that Kendra was the reason that Ricky had stopped paying her attention and wasn't taking care of her. She said, I'm going to eliminate Kendra. I can't deal with it anymore.
Uh-oh. When people have that point of view, like, if I could only get rid of whoever.
The girl he actually loves.
Everything will go back to normal. But, like, you know it won't.
There's a puzzle piece missing here.
A chip in your little brain?
Yeah, of, like, it's not... He's not, like, a dog. And, like, he got a new toy. And if you could hide the toy, he'll go back to playing with this toy. Like, he chose to date other people. It's not Kendra's fault. He doesn't like you.
Yeah, and, like, eliminating a human being...
Okay, I'll go back to my other girlfriend then. Like, what? So Brenda offers Crystal $500 to help her go along with the murder. Crystal said she'd do it. Later, when asked why Crystal would accept such a small amount of money to kill a woman, she said, I was broke and I had a son to support.
Hard to argue with. I mean, you'd hope that people would know that, like, it won't work out, A.
Yeah. $500.
And B, like, you cannot
kill a woman,
kill people for any amount of money.
No.
But a little bit evil, particularly evil, of Brenda to pick people who are
so desperate.
Yeah. And who that amount of money would feel like a lot to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you couldn't even make it, like, $5,000.
Yeah, like, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're offering people to buy them cars, and you're gonna be like, well, you trash, I'll give you $500.
Yeah, I bet you'll do it for cheap. Like, what?
So for several days, Brenda and Crystal tailed Kendra. They would watch her through night vision binoculars, and they decided the best way to kill her was to shoot her. But because neither of them knew how to use guns, Brenda suggested they find a hitman. And she asked Crystal if she knew anyone who could do it because she, quote, came from a rundown neighborhood.
Yeah, Brenda, are you a dick?
Yeah.
You're kind of a dick anyway.
Yeah, so they just drove around Crystal's neighborhood asking random men if they would be willing to shoot someone for money. At one point, they dropped by Crystal's mother's house, and a former neighbor happened to be there. He was there with a friend named Christopher Love, who had brought along his children so they could jump on the trampoline in the yard. Christopher was a drug dealer. He was 31, and his body is covered in tattoos. One of the tattoos on his back is One Man Army, above an image of an AK-47 surrounded by bullet holes. You're just the guy.
Thank God, finally.
Cha-ching! He had a criminal record going back to his teenage years. He had been convicted of aggravated assault, robbery, burglary. And he had told a friend that he would like to start a prostitution ring one day. He just needed some startup cash. So Brenda and Crystal follow Christopher to his apartment, where they talk about what they want. And to impress Christopher, Brenda made up a story about having connections to a drug cartel and said that she would pay him a combination of drugs and cash, totaling $3,000 in value, if he joined her murder for hire crew. He accepted, and when Brenda asked if he had a gun, he produced a .40 caliber Smith & Wesson. So Brenda and Crystal buy gloves for Christopher to wear so he won't have fingerprints. Crystal also Googles for someone who might sell her a silencer for the pistol, but Christopher tells him not to worry. He knows what he's doing. He'll take care of everything. So meanwhile, like I said, Ricky and Kendra are already talking about marriage. Her yoga instructor, who I talked about earlier, said she would come to yoga class and smile all the way through it, even when she did the triangle, which is particularly hard.
Wow.
So if that tells you anything.
Quite a bit.
So meanwhile, Ricky and Kendra have no idea that she's being crazy.
Yeah, I kind of can't believe we're walking through life being normal.
Yes.
And I have no idea that they're hatching a murder for hire plan.
Not only that, she's still talking to Ricky, like, as a friend.
Brenda, you mean?
Yeah.
Brenda.
So she graduates from Sanford Brown in August, and he sent her a text wishing her good luck on her final exams.
Oh my God, Brenda, you're not talking about, they're not bad people.
No, but he does, he says, okay, on August 31st, I'm going to take you off my cell phone plan. She's been on his cell phone plan this whole time.
And you're not my girlfriend.
And this isn't mean for me to do.
Not at all.
So he had been offered a position at a medical practice outside Sacramento and is going to be moving there in October. And he also asks Brenda if she knows anyone who might buy his furniture from his apartment. So she's like, oh my God.
We have to do it now.
We have to do it now. He's leaving. He's taking Kendra, probably.
Let them go.
Let them go. So Brenda decides to have the murder performed on September 2nd.
Okay.
The day before Kendra and Ricky are scheduled to leave for Cancun. She borrows a friend's BMW for Crystal to drive. But that morning, there was a problem with the BMW's accelerator. So Brenda and Crystal take the car to a repair shop owned by Brenda's friend, Jose. And he agreed to let them borrow his black Jeep Cherokee while he worked on the BMW. So Crystal drives Brenda to the public library where Brenda had arranged to meet a classmate and study for the state dental hygiene exam. Perfect alibi.
And like, girl, why can't you
just be a dental assistant?
Like, be in your own life. You have shit going on.
Right. She graduated. Like, she managed to do all this stuff while being nuts. So they drop Brenda off at the library. Bye. Crystal then goes and picks up Christopher. I want you to know Christopher is spelled with a K. So they park across the street from Smile Zone, where Kendra is working on children's teeth.
Oh my God. Like, minding her own.
She has no fucking idea that she's even, like, upset a woman.
Yeah, she didn't date a guy who had a girlfriend.
No.
She did nothing that would ever make anyone normal mad.
Right, right. Oh God. So for most of the day, they just stare at Kendra's car, a white Toyota Camry, and around 2:30, Crystal suddenly puts the Jeep into gear, telling Christopher that she needed to pick up her son from school. So she takes Christopher back to his apartment, picks up her son from school, buys him a corn dog at Sonic, drops him off at his grandmother's, returns to Christopher's apartment to pick him up, and drives back to Smile Zone. Kendra is still there working. She finishes work early that day and drives away, being trailed by Crystal and Christopher. They lose her in traffic. She took a detour to a friend's apartment to borrow a waterproof camera to use while snorkeling in Cancun.
The dream she had.
No, it's just too much. Best laid plans of mice and men, you know what I mean? So they just drive to her parking garage and wait for her. And a few minutes later, she pulls in.
Ugh.
I know.
Not in a parking garage. Like, already terrifying.
Her apartment parking garage.
I know, but, like, it happening. Like, what you're afraid of happening in a parking garage.
The happening, yeah.
The happening. Fuck you.
So Christopher, who had been hiding in the back seat, gets out of the Jeep right after Kendra drove past them in the garage. He walked toward where she was parked. And just as she stepped out of her car, he raised a pistol and shoots her in the head. Just point blank.
Mm-hmm.
Another resident who was in the parking garage heard Kendra scream, quote, more like an animal, not like a human. Christopher grabbed Kendra's purse and the camera and hurried back to the Jeep. Crystal drove away, driving right past Kendra, who was lying face up on the garage floor. So at the time this was happening, Brenda's at Chili's having drinks with Jose. She and Jose returned to his house after 9. She calls Crystal to confirm that the task had been completed, and asked her to drive to Jose so they could swap the Jeep for the BMW. Seconds after Crystal arrived, Brenda grabs Kendra's purse and puts it on her shoulder.
What the fuck?
So when the police interview Ricky that night, he said he had no idea who would want to kill Kendra. He didn't mention Brenda as a suspect at all. And when he texted her about losing Kendra, she was so concerned and so sad, so willing to do anything to help him in his time of grief. So Eric Barnes, who was a Dallas police homicide detective, only had one lead, which is a grainy surveillance video of a woman driving a black Jeep Cherokee out of the garage. He decided to release the video to the news, and Jose happened to see it.
Oh my God.
It's his fucking car.
Yeah, like, if I don't come forward, they're gonna find me. The guy fucking had anything to do with it. The idea that they thought they wouldn't be, like, clocked on any camera. Do you know what year you're in? You're in, like, 2015.
Yeah, in a luxury apartment building parking garage. There's CCTV in
there. If you're near a building, you're going to be on camera.
Especially where people live and they have to have security. So Jose calls Brenda and she explains that Crystal had driven the Jeep the entire day. And she's like, also, Crystal has a drug problem. So maybe she was in the parking garage trying to buy drugs. And maybe something went wrong. Who knows?
Are we trying to blame it on...
Well, I didn't have the car. Who knows what Crystal did with your car?
Wow.
So when Jose said he's afraid to drive his car around town, Brenda says, why don't you just paint it a different color? So after talking to his family, Jose meets with Eric Barnes, the detective.
Yeah.
And tells him about Brenda and Crystal. Like, they had my car and they're fucking shady.
Yeah, and they told me not to come talk to you.
Right.
Okay, great.
So Eric Barnes contacts Ricky to talk with him again. And Ricky also had seen the video on the news and at least for a moment had wondered if the woman behind the wheel of the Jeep was Brenda.
Yeah.
He told the detective that he was getting scared and that Brenda was coming to his apartment later that day to bring him groceries.
Trying to caretake you what are you too did to him.
Much. Not only killing someone is crazy, but like watching someone suffering and you're like comforting them when you know that you did it.
Yeah. And kind of like, perfect. Now I get to comfort him.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the detective calls Brenda one day, who is at the library studying her little heart out.
I gotta be a dental hygienist, right?
Gotta keep it moving. I have goals. And he's like, can you come see me and let's talk? So he tells her he's investigating the murder of Kendra Hatcher, and Brenda is acting like she has no idea what he's talking about.
But you do know. Even if you're not involved, you know what happened.
Yeah, you've been comforting Ricky this whole time.
Weird.
And she says, how did my name come up? I'm just wondering. Just asking.
Who ratted?
I mean,
I'm just wondering.
Just wondering. So he questions her for more than 2 hours, and she told him that her relationship with Ricky was not serious. And she wasn't really that upset when they broke up. And she never even learned the name of his new girlfriend and didn't even know what she looked like. Stop lying.
How do people think that they're not going to get caught?
Like, she has screenshots and shit. Like,
yeah, like, forget about the whole, like, morality of, like, taking a fucking life for nothing.
You're also stupid.
But, like, you know that they will dig into what happened here.
Yeah, they'll say, who knew her? Oh.
Who you. Might have been mad at her? Mm-hmm. You, duh. The, like, ancient motive of, like, you're jealousy. Dating my man. Like,
yeah.
Could there be a more... duh kind of motive.
Right,
you know,
and when you hire someone to kill someone, they are going to flip on you so fast.
They're gonna get caught, and then yeah. they have no fucking loyalty to you.
No,
they're caught for fucking murder. They're yeah. gonna tell them anything they can.
My control freak self could never hire someone to do the most important
you'd
job.
You have to pull the trigger.
I would. If you want something done right, do it yourself.
Not the most important job of your life.
Of someone's life. So he asks her to recount her whereabouts on the day of the murder, and she never mentioned going to Jose's. She said only that her friend Crystal had dropped her off at the library that morning and had picked her up that night at Chili's. Brenda opened her wallet and pulled out a neatly folded receipt from Chili's to prove to him that she could not have possibly been at the apartment complex. No, but you know who was? Your good friend.
Yeah, who you, like, have a Venmo transaction to for that like, night.
Murder, thanks. Murder and margaritas.
Like 500, like, knife.
Yeah. Like, water gun emoji. Okay, at some point during the interrogation, an officer informed the other officer who was talking to her that Crystal had been brought in as well. So he goes in to question her.
She'll turn in a heartbeat, too.
She murdered someone for $500. She's not, like... brilliant.
Of high moral...
right.
Yeah.
No loyalty to, like, anything.
Yeah.
So...
might be the fundamental thing about hiring people to kill.
They're shitty people.
They're bad people.
Yeah. They're not, like, stand-up guys. They're yeah. not, like, who's a good guy?
Tony Hawk?
I don't know. Like, she's no Tony Hawk, basically, is what I'm saying. Crystal acknowledged that she had driven the Jeep into the garage. But she had told several stories of why she was there. First, she said that she was looking for a parking space because she wanted to eat dinner at the Mexican restaurant a few blocks away. Then she said that she had been there with her son on the day of the shooting and that she had parked in the garage so she could take him to play at the park.
You know, they write down everything you tell them.
I literally do not understand why people change stories. I'm like, is there something I'm not getting?
I think pure panic.
In, like, the same conversation, it's like, why would you lie about going to the Mexican restaurant?
Like, I think pure fucking panic, dude. I think, like, if you look at them and you could tell they're not buying it, you panic in a major way. In a way that, like, you're not in your logical brain anymore. You're, like, you're living in panic.
Or you're, like, I went to the Mexican restaurant, and they're, like, we have no record of you eating at the Mexican restaurant. You're, like, okay, you got me. I was at the park.
Oh, maybe that, too. Yeah.
right?
I mean, I've never killed and tried to cover it up. No. I can't relate. I can't pretend to know what we're going through.
Right. And like, we know you didn't take your son to the park. He told us all about his corn dog.
Yeah.
Eventually, Crystal said that a man named Lamar, who she didn't know, had forced her at gunpoint to drive him into the parking garage to rob Kendra. Finally, she admitted that Brenda had paid her and Lamar to do the... Who the fuck is Lamar?
Who? If I'm Lamar, I'm her neighbor Lamar.
I'm sorry.
Fuck you.
What? To do the robbery. So she's saying Brenda paid them to rob Kendra, but she had no idea that Lamar was going to go rogue and shoot her. So after the shooting, Crystal said, Lamar got back into the Jeep and ordered her to drive away. She did not protest because he had a gun. Girl, what the fuck are you talking about?
Why Lamar? Why not go with the real guy?
She's scared of the real guy, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. But like, the only lie you might get away with now would be we hired him to go like intimidate her.
Yeah.
And he went wild and like kind of shot her in the moment.
He like kind of shot her in the head.
You know?
Yeah.
He went off prompt and he shot her. Fuck.
I might do that. That might be my story.
I think I would do that.
Because, like, prove it. Prove our conversation. Okay.
Not to, like, help her and tell her what to do.
No, I mean, anyone who's going to do this is, like, so dumb anyway. Mm. Okay. So Eric Barnes goes back into Brenda's room and is like, I'm getting her to confess. I'm doing it. So rather than confronting her, he decided to speak to Brenda in a nice way. He said, I have had my heart broken. I know what it feels like. I understand what it's like to want something that you can't have. And I also know what it feels like to want something so bad you're willing to do anything for it. She's shaking her head no. But he says, all this revolves around you, and it's all because of something you couldn't have. You couldn't get him back as long as she was alive.
Hard to argue with.
Ouch, detective. I think you hated the fact that you weren't good enough for Ricky.
Where do you get that? Who told you that?
She's like, wah.
What do you mean by that?
Let's look at her to talk, maybe. Maybe he didn't like the way you look. Maybe he didn't want a dental hygienist. Maybe he wanted a dentist. Maybe he didn't like the fact that your parents aren't well off. Maybe he didn't want a girlfriend from Pleasant Grove. Maybe his standards were too high for you. But for whatever reason, you weren't good enough for him. And that's a hard pill to swallow. Very hard to swallow. Brenda's coming close, but she doesn't crack. He realizes he has to let her go, but he has her booked into the Dallas County Jail on an outstanding warrant for an unpaid traffic ticket.
You have to quit bringing that up. You're really fucking terrifying.
Traffic ticket. You don't speed.
I don't. I do like crash into things.
Got me there. I do crash. I crash my car.
All right, go on.
I crash my car. Unpaid traffic ticket. But she paid the fine and was released. So you can pay the fine and they'll let you out.
Okay.
But Barnes goes and arrests Crystal on capital murder charges. Mm-hmm. And a few days later, they learn through phone records that Crystal had been texting a Christopher Love in the days leading up to Kendra's murder. They search his car and find the gun and arrested him. They went looking for Brenda, but she had boarded a bus to Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Adios.
Very much.
Mañana.
Very much adios.
That's all. De nada.
De nada.
No.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Adios. So for 6 months... she lives with relatives in north central Mexico, under the radar. But the FBI, working with Mexican authorities, eventually found her and she surrendered.
Wow.
So she's a U.S. citizen, but because she was born in Mexico, she was also still a Mexican citizen. And according to Mexican law, she could not be extradited to another country that would seek the death penalty.
Okay.
So
They had to not.
So she was returned to the U.S.
And they're like, we won't kill you.
We're not going to kill her. She says, de nada. Kevin Brooks, the lead prosecutor on the case, knew that he did not have the strongest case to put Brenda away. She did have an alibi for the night of the murder. So he meets with Crystal Okay, so here's the tea. He meets with Crystal and offers her a 35-year sentence in return for her testimony about the roles that Brenda and Christopher had. Yeah, see, you dummy, you little dumb bitch. So Crystal spoke to her attorney, who said if she took that deal, she could be paroled in 15 years. So she's like, yeah. So when asked why she decided to confess, so Crystal says that her mother, who was battling kidney disease, had come to see her in jail. Quote, she said that she was disappointed in me and that she raised me better. After her mother died in 2017, Crystal decided to make amends. Couldn't be with her mother.
With who?
Quote, I was foolish. I was young and simple-minded. I got caught up in the excitement. Okay, so Christopher's tried first in October 2018, and relying on Crystal's testimony, jurors took just 2 hours to find him guilty, and they voted to sentence him to death.
Whoa.
We're in Texas.
Whoa.
Don't do these crimes in Texas, of all places. So Brenda's trial begins. Not once during her trial did she look at Kendra's family or her own family or other spectators. So I think, guess her eyes are closed.
Yeah. Are you veiled?
She didn't look at any of the witnesses either, but Ricky took the stand.
No.
She kept her eyes on him as he spoke, but he refused to look in her direction, except for a few seconds when the prosecutor asked him to identify her.
Yeah. He had to have felt real guilt.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And he shouldn't, but I'm sure he did.
Right, but like the fact of him existing led to this woman's murder.
Yeah.
Which is like, he didn't do anything. It's just like fate, you know?
Horrible.
It's just horrible. It's not, you know what I mean? Whatever.
I know what you mean, Kendall. You'd never call the murder of an innocent fate.
I wouldn't call it fate. I'm just saying, like, if that hadn't happened, that wouldn't have happened. What do they call that?
Butterfly. The flap of a
butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Perfect. So, it took jurors only 20 minutes to return a guilty verdict.
Yeah.
You dirty birdie. It took jurors only 20 minutes to return a guilty verdict for capital murder, and the judge sentenced Brenda to life in prison without parole.
Yeah.
And that's the tea, and that's all she wrote.
Well, Brenda, what are you doing, girl? All that for life in jail? How you fucking idiot.
Foolish.
You little fucking idiot.
How foolish. It's just so embarrassing to be like, I love this man so much. Ew.
Yeah, I'll kill for him.
Could not be me.
Well, we know it. You know it. Tell no one.